Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In February 2016, the National Association of Scholars released a report about what kind of books colleges want their students to read outside of class. And one of the things this study discovered is that the books colleges recommend today are often geared toward a group of students called book virgins. These are the students who kind of just skated their way through high school without ever actually opening a book. As they said, the desire to appeal to incoming students who have rarely, if ever, read an adult book on their own led selection committees to choose low-grade, accessible works that are presumed to appeal to book virgins who will flee actual college-level reading. Such book virgins have to be wooed with simple, unchallenging works. The study also defined an adult book like this. If the message in a book can be conveyed to a child, don't assign it to adults. If the book is easy enough to be read in high school, don't use it in a college. Now think about your own experience with reading. Maybe you'd consider yourself a book virgin. Maybe the whole idea of reading a book for fun does not sound fun to you at all. Or maybe you do like to read, but you don't want to spend a whole lot of brain power doing it. You'd rather read something like Harry Potter instead of Shakespeare. Or maybe you're the complete opposite of a book virgin. Maybe you are super geeky when it comes to books. You've read a bunch of great authors. You have a high IQ. You like hanging out with people who can pick up on your obscure literary references. If so, then you are not alone. There is now a group of people called sapiosexuals. Sapio is the Latin word for I discern or I understand. And the term appears to have come from a man named Darren Stadler, an engineer in Seattle in 1988, when he was describing his own sexuality. Basically, someone who is sapiosexual is more attracted to someone else's intelligence than they are their body. As Darren wrote, I want an inquisitive, incisive, insightful, irreverent mind. I want someone for whom philosophical discussion is foreplay. Merriam-Webster is even thinking about including sapiosexual as a new word in their dictionary. So on the one side of the spectrum, we have book virgins. And on the other side, we have sapiosexuals. The thing they have in common is that they both have an experience with books. The thing that is different is their reaction to the books. Which sounds a whole lot like the parable for today. Right, this parable of the sower and the seed is one of those rare parables that comes with an interpretation. We're told that the seed that is scattered is the word, and that the different types of soil respond to it in different ways. Now, of course, when we hear the word in a Christian context, we often think of the Bible, right? The Word of God. A book made of actual printed words. And yet for many Christians, the Bible is simply another book they've never actually read. They've heard the Cliff Notes version of it, They know important stories from it. They've seen the movie of it. But they've never actually opened it and read it for themselves. They are Bible virgins. Or, as the parable seems to say, some people are the path or the rocky soil. They're not receptive to the Word of God at all. Other people seem to be Bible geeks. They could beat you at Bible Trivial Pursuit any day. And they know about the most obscure parts of Scripture. They seem to be like the good soil. Those who are receptive to the Word and can't get enough of it. But you know, I don't think that you're either a Bible virgin or a Bible geek. It's not like you're one type of soil and that's it and you'll never change. Instead, remember that the parable is about how the soil reacts to the seed. I bet that there are some days that you are the hard path of the rocky soil. You don't want anything to do with the Bible. Or maybe you're willing to have a little bit of it, but it doesn't really take root. Or maybe there are some times when you hear some promises from the Bible and they really grab hold of you, but then the stresses of daily life convince you those promises aren't true. Right? Like, how many of you could say that you remember what the scripture readings were for Sunday or what the sermon was about from Sunday come Tuesday morning? Or maybe there are times when you are really receptive to the Word. There are times when that seed gets planted deep inside of you and it takes root. It changes your entire outlook on life. Like maybe you remember something today that you heard years ago. Something that has stuck with you ever since. Right, so I don't think that we're just one kind of soil and that's who we are forever. Instead, we change. We go back and forth. We hear the Bible in different ways at different times in our lives. But regardless of where you are in life, or how you respond to the Bible, the thing to remember here is that the seed is still good. And the sower still gives it to you. Did you notice that? The sower didn't just plant the seed in the good soil. He threw it around on all kinds of soil, wanting it to grow everywhere. Which is both stupid and revolutionary. Right, think about when you plant seeds in your garden. You make sure that you're planting them in good soil, right? You don't just throw it out there and hope for the best. If some of it spills on the driveway, you're going to scoop it up and put it in the garden. You don't just leave it there. But God plants things differently. God gives the seed to all kinds of soil. Rocky, thorny, good, whatever. And that's revolutionary. Right, think of it this way. We often talk about the Bible as the Word of God, but really the Word of God is primarily Jesus, the Word incarnate. Right? The Bible is only Word of God in that it points us back to Him. And other things like music and art, they can be Word of God too if they point us back to Jesus. So think about Jesus as the seed. How He was given to everyone. and how people reacted to him. Right, some people wanted nothing to do with it. They thought their lives were going just fine, thank you very much. They didn't want this nobody from Nazareth coming in and trying to change the way they've always done things. Other people were excited about him, but then changed their minds. I think about his inner 12 who followed him all that time, but then denied him, betrayed him, and ran away from him. Then there are those who really responded to Jesus. He took root in them and brought them to new life. He changed them in a good way. And think about who it was who responded like that. It was those who were down and out. It was the sinners and the tax collectors and the prostitutes. It was those who knew that their lives were falling apart. And so because of that, I don't think it's the Bible geeks who are the good soil. I think it's those who know that they need the seed. Right? Think about your life. Maybe you don't pay much attention to Jesus when things are going well. All right, when you feel like everything's going your way, you don't want him to come along and mess things up. That would feel like planting weeds. And yet he's still there, trying to grow something new in you. Or on the other hand, I think you also know what it feels like when life does not go your way. You know how hard life really is. Maybe some tragedy made your world fall apart. Maybe you've made some bad choices and you're still dealing with the consequences. Maybe someone else mistreated you and now their negative voices live inside your head. Regardless of where you are in life, the sower still casts the seed on you. That's incredible. God's promises are still for you. Sometimes you may want nothing to do with them. But he's still there, trying to change you. And sometimes you know that you desperately need him. And he's still there. He takes root in you and he changes you. And yes, there are forces in this world that try to stop that seed from growing in you. They try to choke it out of you. They try to make it wither up in your life. But no matter what, the sower is still faithful. And he still gives that seed to you. So whether you are a book virgin or a sapiosexual, a Bible virgin or a Bible geek, the broken at Jesus' feet, or those who turn their backs, the seed is still good. And the sower is always there to bring you to new life. So in the name of the one who is the Word of God incarnate, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.